Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, we're going to talk about the experience, the ultimate home theater experience, how to build the ultimate home theater experience. Nick and Larry from FBS are going to join me, and we're going to break down how to build the ultimate home theater experience. They came up with four steps. I'm going to surprise them with a fifth step. But there's so much to building your home theater. They break it down into four easy steps. But we get into the nitty gritty on what each step means, what you need to do, how you can evolve, all of that great stuff. And SVS, you know, SVS sound. Guess what step one is? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to listen and find out if you haven't already read the article. So let's get right to it. Sit down with Nick and Larry. Talk about how to build the ultimate home theater experience.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Larry. Nice to have you back. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Always a pleasure. Always have so much fun on the Bright Side Podcast.
Thanks, guys. I was so excited. Nick, thank you for responding so quickly and grabbing Larry to jump on with us, because I read this article, How to Build the Ultimate Home Theater Experience, and I love reading this stuff anyways, but you put it out on your website, and I get to the very first step, and it blew me away that SVS sound, and your website is SVS sound. You're all about sound. You're all about speakers. I have your subwoofers. Step one, guys, make the screen as big as possible. Congratulations. That to me is huge for a sound company to be like, guys, you've got to make your screen as big as possible. And kudos to you guys and the company for just recognizing that. I really, really do appreciate that.
Well, from our perspective, you know, I think when people think of cinematic experiences, like, let's go see it on the big screen, you know, they don't always think of sound quality and dynamics first. And certainly that's where we play, but it's crucial. I mean, it's absolutely critical to having an immersive, ultimate home theater experience to have that big screen. And, you know, I think for credibility's sake, we had to lead with that. And so I'm glad you took notice.
Yeah, the bigger the better in most cases. You know, you want to sit down and be comfortable and have a screen that fills as much as your wall to where you're not really turning your head to have to enjoy it. And you know, that's 50% of the experience is the video. And then the other 50% is going to be the audio and what you do with your friends and family while you're in there. So it's a big part of it is having great
video. And I should add a caveat. There is such thing as going too big on the screen. I mean, Larry just mentioned it. If the action's panning across and you have to move your head, you probably have too big of a screen or you're sitting too close. So those are factors you want to consider. But, you know, the point is to fill up your field of vision so there's no other sort of exterior distractions that take you away from just being immersed in what's happening and unfolding within the cinematic sequences. So it's absolutely a huge part of the whole experience.
Yeah, and I think it is the first step too, because I think when people get into home theater, they start with a big screen, especially nowadays. It's completely reversed from when I started in the 80s, and the biggest you could think of was like a 32 or a 36, unless you were lucky enough to get one of those front projection, you know, 60-inch TVs or something. But those were just unheard of back then. But now everybody gets 65. I mean, 65 is like a small TV now, right? So it's like now it's like you get a 75 in your living room, maybe a sound bar, and then you start thinking, maybe I want to get into home theater. And that's why when I thought about this, I was like, wow, that's really cool of them to do that, to put that number one. But then I've always been of the belief that sound is the bigger part of a theater, of going to the theater. Yes, we go to the theater and you get that big screen experience. But if your screen, and having come from the 80s with I started out with a 26-inch TV, what an odd number back then, but a 26-inch TV and surround sound, because that's all that was possible. But now you do start with the big, and then you want to fill in. And if your screen is too small, when we get to these next few steps, your screen is going to feel even smaller.
Yeah, it's a big part of the experience. Like when I go to the movie theater, I love going to the Dolby Cinema because I love the auditory experience. The video is amazing, but for me, going to the theater, I go for the audio. But that's, you know, that's how I'm sure a lot of people that listen to your podcast and stuff are too. We're the audio junkies. We want that. So whether it's going to IMAX for the large screen and the big over-the-top audio, the Dolby Cinema, the Cinemark XD, and getting that and trying to bring that and recreate that at home is kind of that next step.
But Larry, there is a golden ratio as far as the size of your screen relative to how far away you are. I mean, can you sort of speak to that? Because I forget what it is, and I know you probably remember.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was just hanging out with some buddies with LG, and they were talking about, you know, if you're doing a 4K, you kind of take how far away you are from the screen. And so if you're, say, 10 feet away from the screen, then you multiply that by feet and you go about how far you should have. And so, you know, you have a 100 to 120 inch screen if you're 10 feet away so that you get that best possible experience. If you're doing a projector, if you can't fit, and that can even be like a new short throw projection system too, which is allowing people to do bigger screens in different rooms. But, you know, the cost of 65 inch TVs now, I was walking around the store yesterday and saw really high-end, nice 65-inch TVs starting at $500, $600, $700. So you're able to really start that. So, you know, get the best screen size that feels comfortable to you, like we were saying earlier. Don't overdo it. I know a lot of people want to. And, you know, for me, I don't, when I'm looking at televisions personally, I don't go for the TV with the tons of bells and whistles because I'm going to be adding that with external devices, whether it's a gaming system that has a bunch of streaming, an external streaming device, or do something via discs. And so that tends to be the way I go, is I'm going to buy a great television, but feature-wise, I'm going with everything else.
Yeah. And DJ, if I can take that a step further, I'd say, you know, if there is an area of your home theater that maybe you can cut cost a little bit, you know, get that big TV. Don't skimp on the size. But like Larry said, you know, maybe look not to get the latest gimmick like the curved screen. I mean, do they even sell those anymore? The curved screen TVs
or
the
3D? Gone,
yeah. Like how many people are watching 3D in their homes right now? It's like those things where you're like, oh, this is the latest and greatest. I got to have it. And you pay a premium for it. And then it's like, you know, nobody's using it or the content isn't there. And you're sort of like left, you know, holding the receipt in your hand. Like, why did I spend so much for this? I guess gimmick is the word that I'm going to use. So, you know, if you want to invest in a premium home theater experience, you can probably save a few bucks by not getting all of those extras with a display or with a projector. And especially if you don't have like a really dark room, you should probably not even look at projectors. Focus on the flat panel and, you know, get the highest resolution you can, get it future-proofed, but don't, you know, overspend for that when you have so many other components that I know we're going to talk about where you can spend your hard-earned money on.
Yep.
I say that all the time. When people ask me, I've built theaters for people, I'm always like, save your money. Don't spend a lot of money on your screen. Because what I thought was funny that you said, Nick, is like, try to future-proof. But it's almost impossible to future-proof your display because the technology is advancing so fast. It's like, it was only a few years ago, 1080p was fine, right? And now we're into 4K with HDR. And then what's it going to be 5 years from now? What's HDR? How's it going to morph? You don't know, but I'm still running my same speakers they're 20 years old. If you invest in a good set of speakers, those are going to last you. And the other thing is when you're first starting out, you don't even know what you don't know yet as far as picture quality. So you could go out and spend all this money on an OLED with this great picture and all the money and be like, okay, that looks great, I guess. But so did the other one that was, you know, 10 inches bigger. And it's like, go for size and that's it when you're first starting out. And then learn as you go because your eyes will learn. Like as if you get a, I don't want to say crappy TV, but you get the biggest TV you can afford. And it's like, all right, that is nice. after a year or two of watching that, you're going to start to notice some flaws. Then you upgrade that. But guess what? Let's get into these next steps. There's not going to be any flaws. You don't want to skimp on your speakers. You don't want, and I'm not saying this because you guys are here. That's why I love this article. But I say this all the time. My listeners know this. It's like, spend the money on a good set of speakers because they're probably going to last you 20 years. And that's going to be your system. And if you don't have a big screen to start, these next steps, they're going to make that, like I just said, they're going to make that screen get smaller and smaller. So the first step, that the second step you have, step two, make sure the sound system covers the entire audible bandwidth, which I think is great, but I really want to get you guys' elaboration on this.
All right. So really what we're talking about there is taking advantage of your room so that when you do sit down to watch a movie, enjoy a concert, watch the news, watch whatever, that you're able to put a system in place that's going to handle everything from all of those mentioned, what you're watching, and also all the frequencies and stuff too, but also take advantage of your room. Don't underdo it, because if you put a system that's too small for a room in there, it's, you're going to notice it. Just like if you get a TV that's too small, you're going to be wishing you went larger. And so we tell a lot of people, maybe kind of start piecemealing it together with a really great receiver. And for me, the receiver is the brains of the system. Then, you know, finding your front stage, which can be bookshelves, it can be satellites, it can be towers, it can be kind of a mix of all of that up front. Having some stuff behind you that can fill in the space as well, along with if you're going to do height effects for Atmos or side speakers for additional multi-channel surround. It's really about looking at your space, finding what you can do to maximize the listening experience, the highs, mids, lows, and never be disappointed or underwhelmed.
Yeah. And I would add on to that, you know, we talked about, you know, the screen filling up your field of vision so there's no distractions on you. It's the same way with the sonic playback. You don't want any gaps. If we're talking about the ultimate home theater experience, you know, now with the emergence of Dolby Atmos and DTS:X, you not only have that single plane of surround sound where it's, you know, left, center, right, side surrounds, maybe some rear surrounds to give you seven channels. You have the overhead height effects, and now you have this three-dimensional sound field that completely envelops you. And when you're talking about, you know, maybe not the nightly news, but when you're talking about the latest blockbusters and you're talking about some of this new spatial audio that's available in music, like, that is where that ultimate experience truly comes into play. And, you know, you don't miss a single point of action. And I think you mentioned sort of the dynamic range aspect. Your system should be able to play super subtle and quiet, and you should not feel like you're missing anything. Like, a lot of horror movies, for instance, are meant to have very subtle, low frequency effects that you really kind of only feel a rumble in your chest. And you want that to be articulated in a way that is visceral and sort of understood that they're building to this like suspenseful moment. But then when you have an action movie sequence where there's explosions and bombs going off, you want to feel the full like seat shaking throttle of that action as well. So the ability for it to render very subtle, sort of ominous overtones, but then also erupt in the next moment without missing a beat, like, that's also part of this, you know, full spectrum of sound that you want to have. So it's not just having it, you know, spatially all around you. It's having the ability to reach, you know, as low as possible in the frequency range and as quiet as it needs to be with still being intelligible, but then also ramp up and still keep that clarity, keep that nuance, even when you have tons of action going around. And I know Larry's got a ton of demos that we use at some of these trade shows to show off. Like, there's going to be a ton happening in every single channel. They're all going to be active, but you're not going to be like, that's overwhelming that, and that's overwhelming that. They all sort of play in harmony together.
Yes, it's what has come with this object-based sound, you know, DTS:X and Atmos, is that, so when Dolby started out with, you know, we had Dolby surround sound, then they went to Dolby Pro Logic. What that was doing, it was basically taking the front two channels, dividing it out, giving you a phantom center, but then eventually that Pro Logic, they actually put it on a center channel. But we all know how stereo sound works, in that, like, when you just sit in the middle, it should sound like it's coming from the middle, and then the sound can move side to side. Object-based is that is happening all over your room with every single speaker working in conjunction with each other. So you could have a phantom center going on in the right rear corner, but the what your ear is hearing is maybe if you have a 7-1 or a 7-2-4 system, it's hearing the rear right overhead and then the two rear side, the side rear, and then the other rear, and it's pulling that sound in there, giving you that. So it's enabled, all three of those speakers are working together to give you a sound in a place that a speaker doesn't exist. So if you can't, if all your speakers aren't capable of playing the bandwidth in conjunction, that's not going to work. And that's why you have to have the similar, you know, voicing, timbre, all of that stuff. And it's like that it's so important than just throwing up any old speakers.
You know,
very true. I mean, you don't want to be mixing and matching a ton of different, like you don't want to put a horn loaded tweeter system in the back of your room and a dome in the front. You can, but you know, if you're going to really do your system right, you'll find that you buy the same brand of speakers all the way around and try to get them as closely matched as possible. And that's what we do with all of our products. We have the two lines of speakers, the Prime and the Ultra series, and they totally blend. So we have people all the time that will do maybe a larger stage up front and something smaller in the back for surrounds. And you don't have to sacrifice any of that because they'll all work together.
And I think it's funny that you brought that up, DJ, because we call that a Frankenstein system when you mix, like, oh, I got my dad's old towers from the 70s and I bought this center channel and I got these surrounds that I used to listen to in college and it sounds great. I'm like, does it sound great? Why don't you try matching all the speakers and then tell me how it sounds?
Right. But that's great to do, though. That's fun. How I started.
That's
right?
How we all start. Yeah, you mix that's and match. And
very similar, going back to step one, just get the biggest TV you can get. I don't care what it looks like, right? When you're first starting out, just throw a bunch of speakers up, get used to it. And then when you want to invest, this is the stuff we're doing. And it's like, I mean, we're talking about building the ultimate home theater experience, right? It took me 20 years to get there. It's like I started with car speakers plugged in inside my suspended ceiling in my parents' bedroom, in my bedroom at my parents' house, you know, just trying anything. And you're right, it's a Frankenstein system. But then you learn, because when you do get that match, you're like, oh,
it makes sense.
Yeah, that's the aha moment. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
So we started, the last thing, talking about screens, we said, yeah, it's okay to skimp on it. One thing I would say you should never, ever skimp on is the center channel speaker. And Larry does a really good job of sort of conveying why that's the case. So I'm going to kick it to you for that. But I want to make sure people know, you know, when you're choosing your multi-channel speaker system, it may be tempting to say, ah, it's a center channel. Like, I'll just get a satellite or something. No, don't. And why is that, Larry?
Well, there's two things you don't ever skimp on your audio, the center channel and the receiver. And the receiver is the brain and the guts, but the center channel is where all the dialogue and a lot of the emotion is going to come from. And there's typically two kinds of center channels that you will encounter out there in the world. The first one is a two-way center channel. And there will typically be three drivers. There'll be two mid-range and a tweeter. Or you will find what's called a three-way center channel, which typically has two woofers, a mid-range, and a tweeter. And in the two center channels that we make, they are both three-way design. So they have two woofers on the outside, a mid-range in the middle, and then a tweeter directly above it. And that's called a diapolito system. And you won't hear that brought up very much. It's a very geek.
You're just
word.
Flexing right and now, Larry. You're just flexing.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I know terms. But what really makes the three-way center channel kind of step above a two-way center channel is you do get all of that frequency. And, you know, we're all Star Wars dorks, so you can imagine hearing Darth Vader and the depth of the voice coming from there. And then, you know, Yoda gets up really, really high, or listening to something like Barry White to Mariah Carey and all those frequencies that carry in between. If you have a capable center channel, you're going to experience all that. You're also going to have a wider spectrum as far as how wide you can sit, a wider sound stage. More people will be able to notice the dialogue and understand it without, you know, I was watching the playoff game last night on TNT and their audio is not great. So I'm constantly turning it up and down, because when it goes from commercials to back to the game, it's very different. If you have a three-way center channel, you won't find yourself doing that quite as much. And I was just doing it on a off the TV last night. But if you have a two-way center channel, what occurs is you get kind of a narrowing of the sound stage, and it becomes very center-minded. So if you are sitting directly in front of the center channel, it's great. But if you've got a big sectional couch or a wider viewing angle for family and friends that are with you, they may have issues sitting off to the sides. And that's something that we really try to eliminate with our three-way center channel design, is create a wider sound stage, more frequency, more range. And we demonstrate that in a lot of different ways, whether it's something with a lot of whispering or a lot of over-the-top action, or one of the best demos we do for showcasing your center channel is actually the movie The Greatest Showman. There's a sequence right in the middle of the movie. It's kind of the emotional turning point of the movie, where the Swedish Nightingale, as she's known, is up on stage by herself singing for the first time. And she goes from whispering to taking a breath to kind of singing at a moderate volume, and then just starts belting out these notes. And you get every bit of that when you have an energetic, capable center channel. And it's one of our favorite demos to do, especially in an A-B demo, when showcasing a two-way versus a three-way center channel. So that was a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why it's step three.
I totally stole the thunder from that one. But I think it's also important, if you are looking at Atmos, you know, the ultimate home theater experience, a lot of the conventional designs, are they still making the ceiling bounce ones? Because I know that was when they first came out, that was the way that was the way to get their certification, was you had to create these modules that went on the top of your tower speakers. They beam the sound off the ceiling, and theoretically it reaches your ears, convincing you you're hearing height effects. And you know, the issues with that is, one, they make you frequency response limit the speaker, so you can't even have a full range execution. And then secondarily, if you have, you know, architectural effects or a vaulted ceiling or even that sort of textured popcorn ceiling, it can disperse that signal in a very weird way. So, you know, our design was more of a direct radiating, where you can mount it high on the wall and it sends the sound directly to you, or even mount them on the ceilings. And even in ceiling speakers, you know, as much as they lack for sometimes dynamics and low frequency extension, that's still even better than going with the ceiling bounce. So, you know, I would certainly recommend, if you're looking at Atmos, save your dollars. Don't go for the toppers. The elevations we make are very neutral. It's like our most popular speaker because they blend with so many other different brands, and look to go that route to really get the full impact of height effects and object-based surround sound.
Yeah. Getting back to the center channel first, and I do have a comment on the elevation speakers, but getting back to the center channel is, I was taught that a long time ago as well. It is the most important speaker in your system. There will be, because you can do a phantom channel, people think, well, it's possible that you don't need it. But if you're going to have one, it is the most important channel in your system, because like you said, like Larry laid out, that is the, dare I say, the anchor, because that's coming up on step four, and you don't know it if you don't have it, what step four is. If you don't have it, you don't know this is your anchor. But to anchor you to the screen, it's your center channel. And to have them, and then going back to step two, I mean, these are all kind of going as in order of importance, but going back to step two, if your center channel isn't properly matched to your left and your right, you miss out on all the great pans. And my listeners know how much I love a pan and anywhere in the room, front to back, up to down, which is one of the things I want to talk to you about later, Nick and Larry, about maybe doing some floor speakers, but that's for another time. My listeners don't know what I'm talking about right now. But one of the scenes I talk about, and I maybe, Larry, we talked about it last time, I don't know, but I know you're a T2 fan. That scene when he blows open the door, it's not even a door, he blows open the wall at Cyberdyne to get them into the hallway, and it shoots across. If you don't have, I went years trying to get that correct and get it to sound like I heard in a demo. And step four was what finally got me there, ironically. And we'll get to that in a minute. But to have a nice pan, they have to match very well, at least across the front channel, right?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of historic, you know, moments where things go from the left to right or front to back or, like you said, top to bottom. And if you have something that throws that connection off, or maybe something's not even placed right, or maybe something's too high or too far away, it can impact that to where, like I said, you tried to recreate, you know, Schwarzenegger busting through that wall forever. And if the slightest thing can cause that to be off. And sometimes it can be simply towing in a speaker. Sometimes it can be location. It can be distance. It can be frequency adjustment inside the receiver, making sure your crossover is right. There's all sorts of things that can kind of go into that. But, you know, if you have two speakers up front and your center channel is a totally different brand, you're going to miss out. And that's something that we really try to navigate people towards the right direction.
Yeah. And then, as far as the elevation goes, Nick, you were saying about how it's one of your, did you say it's your most popular speaker?
It is. We sell more Prime Elevations than any other speaker that we make.
And I think it's because it is so versatile. It's, you can use it as a regular channel. You can start out with it. I think I saw that. I actually recommended it to somebody because I was like, if you put these in and then eventually you upgrade to the next level, you can actually use these as Atmos, and because you can use them all over your room.
Yeah, we actually have a customer who's got 9 channels, and they have our Prime Center, and then basically 8 of the Prime Elevations in all different arrangements, because you can put them on their side, and they can serve as side surrounds mounted on their side at ear level. You can put them high on the sidewall, and they'll direct radiate the height effects. You know, if you're running something like Oro 3D for music, you can have that Voice of God speaker that's right over your head. And so, you know, he basically mounted them all to his wall and created this 9-channel setup without skipping on the center. Good for him. And had this just totally immersive. And it's not a very big room. So you don't need to have massive towers. You don't need to have big bookshelves for your rears. Yep. And it created the exact performance and ultimate experience that he wanted, because it fit within the small room. He was able to hide the wires. And, you know, he added a nice subwoofer, had the center channel. So for what he was looking to execute, it was just the perfect setup. And, you know, I think that's what people look at the Prime Elevation and they sort of see that the possibilities are endless. And no, it's not, you know, it's not the most, it's not truly a full range speaker in the sense that it can go down to like, you know, 20 Hertz. But if you add a subwoofer, it's absolutely substantial enough to carry through the mid range and, you know, it's got nice clear highs, and it's just a great solution for solving a lot of problems, but then also not really compromising on the sound quality either.
Yep.
Yeah. Before we get to step 4, can you talk about what you just said, Nick? I want you guys to talk about, a lot of people think they need towers. There's a lot of that mentality out there of, I think it's old school. It's like bigger the better, right? And it's to try and convince people that, you know, you can get away with a bookshelf, not even get away with, that's what's appropriate in a certain environment, right? So can you guys talk to why you, and this is, I mean, you could upsell people all day long. You could, I mean, this is your business. You could be run, you'd be like, hey, get the towers. You need them, but I'm in a little bedroom. Doesn't matter. These things are big.
Yeah.
No, but you just talked about somebody with 9, you know, elevation speakers as his main room. That's the room. So why don't you upsell? Why do you go by the environment? And talk to that.
There's a lot to this answer. And so
I got time.
Yeah. So looking at, say, like the elevation speakers, and if you haven't seen them, they're a smallish speaker that can go on the wall, and they're mounted just like a theatrical speaker. So when you go to a movie theater, they're mounted on a wall and they're kind of angled towards you. And that's what the Prime Elevation speaker is. And because it is a very capable speaker, you know, some people are running into rooms where you can't put stuff on the floor, where you are in it. Like this room I'm in here is a conventional bedroom. And so I do have towers in here, but it's a room where I listen for work. Typically, like my bedroom, I've got a pair of bookshelves under the TV connected to an amplifier, and that's what we use in lieu of a soundbar. But depending on the room, a lot of it comes down to what will fit. Would something be overpowering? But you can use wall-mounted speakers and a very capable center channel. You can use wall-mounted speakers, a center channel, and a very capable subwoofer, or multiple subwoofers to compensate for maybe what you would lose if you maybe can't fit a tower speaker. But the other thing you have to take into account when you go with like a bookshelf's fantastic for everything. Fronts, sides, surrounds, however you can make them work. But you also have to think about where you're going to put them. And I think that's where some of the conversation around, I don't do bookshelves in a theater, is because they take up the same space as a tower speaker would, because you do have to get a stand for them or have some furniture to put them on. But in a bedroom, a pair of bookshelves is great. Or even the elevation, once we rearrange the house, we're working on that right now, I'm going to put elevations in the bedroom, because you can, like Nick said, throw them on the sides, put them in the corners, and then have that sound kind of project into the room. But there, whatever speaker really fits your space, and then you can take advantage or add to it. So maybe a bookshelf fits in your living room, and because of the way the room is, maybe do a couple of subwoofers, because that speaker maybe can't go down as deep as you would like, but it would, the subwoofer would bring that to life for music and movies. Then there's the other thing you could do is, you know, hide speakers on the wall, or put them on the sides and take advantage of some of the wall space that you've got to get something off the floor. So it really comes down to what you can fit in your room. In many cases, your budget sometimes comes into play. I'm a tower guy in the two theater rooms that we have, but in our living room, it's, you know, stuff that's typically mounted on a wall or on some furniture.
I would take it in a different direction as well. I mean, if you look at our flagship tower speaker, the Ultra, it's got these dual opposing 8-inch woofers in the bottom of the cabinet. And for this speaker to sound as good as possible, it really needs some breathing room. And we'll have people call up and be like, I want your best speaker, and I'm putting it in like a 10x10 room. And we're like, well, let's think about this here. You're going to cram these, you know, speakers that have these dual opposing 8-inch woofers, you know, next to furniture, next to walls. So, you know, that bass response is just going to be like an echo chamber off these walls. They're not going to be able to breathe. They're not going to be able to open up. You know, let's rethink your strategy here. And so, you know, in that scenario, if they truly were dedicated to having a tower speaker, we'd suggest a more conventional design where all of the drivers are facing forward. It doesn't need as much room on the sides or behind it to really breathe and to open up and to perform its best. But it still gives you that really, you know, great performance. You know, the caveat to that is, like, you have a very small room. Are you ever going to use this speaker to its full capabilities? Probably not. A bookshelf speaker is going to be more than enough in terms of the dynamic output. And, you know, especially if you're adding a subwoofer in terms of the low frequency extension, because that's really what you're getting with the tower speaker is, one, you're saving on the, you know, need to either have a stand or furniture, like Larry mentioned, to actually place the bookshelf on. It's, you know, its own stand, so it just sits there. But then also you could be sacrificing some dynamic output as well as low frequency extension, just because there's less drivers to move air and there's less cabinet volume to really produce, you know, that, that output. So, you know, if you're able to fit a tower speaker and you really want, you know, absolutely to be able to crank it to as loud as you want, anytime you want, you know, there's an option there. But I think in a lot of scenarios in smaller rooms, the bookshelf is going to be fine, and you can have that ultimate home theater experience without having to, you know, to adopt a tower into the, you know, into the system.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And it's one of the things you run into a lot of times. People just, that's what they just have that in their head. Bigger is better. And it's not necessarily the case.
No.
But we keep saying the ultimate home theater experience, and you cannot have the ultimate home theater experience without step four. Choose your anchor very carefully. I would like to open this up with, it's shameless on, I'm doing it in front of you guys. I didn't get the ultimate home theater until I got my SVS subs. I have PB2000s, two of them. And up until then, I was getting decent bass. I had a good experience. I thought a really good experience. And then when I went with the PB2000s, it rivals Dolby Cinema. And to me, that's what I was always trying to duplicate. And one of my favorite scenes that I can duplicate from Dolby Cinema is the trailer from the latest Mission Impossible when what's his name comes out and he cocks the gun,
yeah.
You know, cocks
Henry Cavill, fists. Yeah.
Henry Cavill, right?
Yeah.
And it's I remember sitting there with my son, and you get the, and it felt like he punched you in the chest twice. And I was like, oh, I came home and I put that on in my theater, pulled up the trailer, and I was like, now it's off of YouTube. It's probably not even the best cut of this. And I got the on my chest and I was like, I've got it. This is it. And it's like every move I know going to Dolby Cinema, I come home. It's because of the subwoofer. I went probably the first 10 years of my home theater experience with no subwoofer. Then I got subwoofer because it was it is the final thing. But when, if you don't have one, you got to get one. And once you get one, you want a good one and you want a good system because you realize that low end is a big part of the experience. It is the anchor. Guys, please talk to this. Tell everybody how important this is.
Sorry, I got a little.
Oh, Larry's got to go.
Yeah.
Just in time.
Yeah. No, my son normally works these nights, but he was off today. The subwoofer really is the energy. And it's like you said, when you go to Dolby Cinema, not only are there subwoofers in the floor behind the screen, they're also mounted to the ceiling. And then you also have some attenuators mounted to your seat to add even more depth to that. And when you go home and you've just got this really loud, overpowering sound, and nothing to punch you in the gut or that you feel in your chest, there is something you're missing. And so a subwoofer can really bring together the immersive aspect of what you're watching. And we've all changed the way we've gotten our entertainment over the last couple of years because we were going to tons of movies and tons of concerts, and that shifted until recently where now people are starting to get back out there again. But when you watch those same things at home, it was kind of underwhelming. So bringing in the big screen, the proper speaker setup, the center channel, and then anchoring it, as we're saying, with the subwoofer, it can bring that depth, that immersive audio. Because what a subwoofer does that speakers don't is it plays those notes that are, you know, the under the 30 hertz, the under 20 hertz. And if you don't know what that is, that's the stuff you feel, whether it's through your chest, through your legs, down in your feet, or maybe even, depending on your room, pressurizing your ears, very much like when you're in a plane. And that's quite a bit of fun to do, too. You're like, whoa, where did that come from? But, you know, finding the right one, it can come into a lot of different factors. You know, you want a subwoofer to play really deep. You want it to be really, really loud. You want it to be accurate. You want it to be fast. And you want it to really blend with all of your speakers so that the experience doesn't sound like it's coming from a corner where you have your subwoofer placed. You want it to blend with all of those speakers you have around the room. And once you do that, you have a really phenomenal home theater system. And whether, you know, space is a concern or output, or if you've got this big, massive, open concept living room, finding the right one to match your speakers is actually key as opposed to just based on your room.
And I like to put it in, you know, slightly different terms. We hear all the time, you know, people say the most impactful upgrade they have ever made to their home audio experience, theater, music, whatever, is adding a quality subwoofer. Like, that you just notice it the second that first bass note drops, the second that, you know, scene that you've seen in a movie a million times hits you, like you said, DJ, in a completely different way where all of a sudden you're getting punched in the chest. And all the time we're hearing from people, I am now being forced to watch every single movie over again because I feel like I just have not really felt what is capable of, you know, of being immersed in a way that just was never there before for me because I did not have a quality subwoofer. So, you know, from our perspective, that's really where SVS was born, you know, building subwoofers in a garage in Ohio, because there was no, there were these really overpriced and underperforming subwoofers that, you know, just really didn't cut it for people. And so, you know, we wanted to sort of disrupt that. And now there's a lot of great subwoofers out there. I'm not going to say ours is, you know, SVS is the only brand, but those things that Larry mentioned about playing deep, playing loud, being accurate, blending with your speakers. If you can find a subwoofer to do all of those things well, then it's going to be a great subwoofer. And it's going to add just a level of impact, a level of immersion that simply cannot be duplicated by any other component you add to your system. And beyond that, I actually think it makes your speakers sound better. Now, it doesn't actually make your speakers sound better. It just allows them to focus on what they do better, which is mid-range and high frequencies, because they don't have the drivers size, or they don't have the, you know, the motor strength to be able to move enough air to do what you said, DJ, get punched in the chest, or have you sort of feel like the room is breathing around you. And that's the kind of experience that only a subwoofer can provide, and why it's the one thing that you should never, ever, ever skimp on.
Absolutely. So much on this. I want to push back a little bit. I think it does actually make your speakers better, because it turns your speakers into, instead of being jack of all trades, master of none, it turns them into experts at what they're doing and what they're meant to do. So in that aspect, it actually does make your speakers better. And I think I wanted to ask you guys about the word accurate when it comes to subwoofers. But I also want to use that word for what it does, is it create a subwoofer by taking that load off of all the other speakers. Everything else becomes more accurate, right? Because now you can focus on that. We were talking about how important the center channel is. One of the most, I've heard it from a bunch of people. I experienced it myself, that when you get a good subwoofer system in your room, your center channel gets better. Your perceived center channel, right? You're like, why am I hearing dialogue so much better? Because you've taken the load off of the rest of the room. You're not getting muddied sound. You're not getting those frequencies from everywhere. It's located. The subwoofers are doing their job. You can speak to that, but I also would like to get your input on what accurate means with a subwoofer. Cause we always know what deep is and we know loud, but we think of subwoofers as boom. It's a huge thing. How can that be accurate? But I know it, they can be it. And I know what you're talking about, Larry, when you say it, but I really want you guys to explain that and like what a accurate subwoofer means.
Yeah. So there's a couple ways to look at it. And the first way I'd say is, you know, what the director, the sound engineer, the musician intended with, whether it's the movie or the music that you're listening to. And if you've been out there and you've got that guy that drives past you in the car and you hear the booming, but you also just kind of hear that waffling sound, that's not accurate. That's just loud and kind of a nuisance. So what you want to have with a subwoofer when it comes to accurate is, you know, say like Pirates of the Caribbean, and you get Jack Sparrow and all of them whispering on the deck of the Black Pearl, and then there's these massive explosions and booms. You know, be able to articulate that in the detail as you would expect it to come from the screen, or as the way they intended it. So don't add something that shouldn't be there by being loud and boisterous or over the top. Start and stop when you are supposed to. So if a subwoofer can't hit a note, it shouldn't add anything to distract you from that, and it shouldn't kind of tail off. So if you bring in that accuracy, you bring in that detail, you add to the experience. And the way a lot of people, unfortunately at home now, the way some of their settings are, prevent that from occurring. So if you've got a home theater system and you don't feel like your subwoofer is giving you a ton of energy, most of the times it can be because of your setting on the receiver. Maybe you are, like we were going back to earlier, the accuracy and detail of your speakers is, if you have your receiver set to where all of the energy, the highs, mids, and lows, are going to the towers because they're set to large, you're not going to get that accuracy and detail out of your subwoofer because it's just kind of getting what's left over. So if you're using a conventional surround receiver and some towers and you're not doing this huge amplification and pre-pros and stuff like that, you probably want to have your receiver set to small for your front stage. And that would give you, like you said, they become a little bit more enveloped. They're doing mids and highs, which is really what they're intended, and a little bit of low frequency, but the subwoofer comes off and it becomes the entire expert of the room, where everything becomes great. And so you get that accuracy, you get that detail, you get what the director or musician intended, whether it be from the subwoofer or having the settings blend properly with your subwoofer. Yeah. And that was another long one.
No, another great way to look at it too is you look at the subwoofers that maybe come with a soundbar or in a home theater in a box, and a lot of them will have a tendency to emphasize a single like 38, 40 bass hertz, because that's about as low as they can play. So you get this one note bass that is supposed to make you feel like this is, you know, this is the booming, this is the action that I'm supposed to be feeling, when in reality, it's just inaccurate. They're emphasizing what it can play at the expense of actually playing the full frequency spectrum, going down to 20 hertz where you're not even hearing it, you're just feeling it. It's just this sort of one note, you know, Larry used the example of a car going by and you just sort of hear this bloated, smeared sound. So, you know, that's one way to be able to, you know, tell if you have a great subwoofer, is if it's playing and you can distinctly tell when it's going from 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 and these different bass sweeps are actually being articulated in a way that is there's nuance and there's depth of sound and there's texture to it and not just this sort of bloated one note sound. And then the other aspect that I think plays into accuracy as well is it has to be able to, you know, we talked about the subtlety. It has to be able to play quiet, but still make you feel it, still make you hear it. And then it has to be able to erupt and you know, play the loudest explosion it could, you know, possibly, you know, move you from your seat. So, you know, if a subwoofer's disappearing when you get that sort of quiet scene where, you know that there's something that's supposed to be happening, but it's simply not able to produce enough sonic energy, then that's a part of accuracy as well. Playing the right amount of bass as well as the tonal frequency accuracy.
Yeah. And one of the things the guys over at AV Rant did, I know you know this podcast, where they, Lee Overstreet, never owned subs. I forget which model of yours he ended up with. He tested out and then has since bought. But he had never owned subs, never thought he needed them because he had these tower speakers. And one of the interesting things that he has since learned, and a lot of people learn when they add subs in, is that you feel like you had a lot of bass before, but it was so inaccurate that the bass that you thought you were hearing was like a all around the room, right? And not, you weren't getting that punch. You were just getting like just this overwhelming sound that was like a big warm blanket, but that's it. You weren't getting that good punch. And it actually, when you get, if that's what you're experiencing, right? And then you get a good subwoofer system, you actually at first, when you put a movie on that, you know, you feel like you're missing a little bit because it's so accurate that it's only giving you what you should be getting. And then when that first bass note hits, whoa, there it is. And you actually feel it and it goes right through you, then goes away, which is what it's supposed to do. But yeah, it's, I think the subwoofer, you guys called it the anchor. I call it, I always think it's the foundation.
I think that's a better term.
Unfortunately,
both
we might have to update our article. I like that better too.
Well, but here's the thing. No, I don't want you to update it because if it's the foundation, it would be the first thing that you get, but it's usually the last thing you get. And it's what anchors your system in place. And it finally tells you you've made it. All right, drop anchor. We here. I've got the ultimate home theater.
Yeah, and I think the second part of that too is it's blending. It's ability to make you feel like it's not just making bass. It's making bass for every single speaker in your system. It sounds like this bass is omnipresent. It's not like you close your eyes and you can point across the room and be like, that's where the sound, that's where the bass is coming from. That's where the subwoofer is. It can't be localized. It has to feel like it's enveloping you. Every single channel is being energized with low frequency extension and output that the subwoofer is creating. And it's just creating that aura of just being enveloped in sound. And that's part of what takes you to that ultimate experience in a big way.
Yeah. And my listeners know when I break down a movie and I have two subwoofers in my room, center rear. And when I hear a gunshot in a movie and I can say that it's at like 10 o'clock and it sounds like the bass is coming from up above at 10 o'clock in the room. And you're like, but you know, like you said, bass is omnipresent, but it's that accuracy and it's all of the speakers working together and giving you the right notes to pull your ear and your brain up there. But yet you feel the punch in the chest that the sound, it feels like you got punched from up above. And it's amazing how this all works together. All right. The last thing that I want to talk about that isn't in your article, but it's so in depth. I don't blame you for not having it there, but once you get your ultimate home theater, you've got all your speakers, you really have to start looking at room acoustics, right, guys?
No question.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, sometimes the room itself is the aid for your sound, but it can also be a detriment to the sound too. And, you know, whether you have a dedicated media room where you can do all kinds of treatments and, you know, cover the wall and whatever, or do bass traps, you know, or people like it, this room, it's a bedroom and it's got a massive 6-foot by 8-foot window over here, and making sure that that's covered. What I use in here is I don't necessarily use bass traps, and we'll get into that in a second, but I have a lot of things hanging on the wall that do reduce reflections. So, you know, room treatments can be reducing reflections from your speakers. It can be reducing vibrations through your floor. It can be taking care of where bass collects in a corner. There's a lot of different aspects to it. So that's part of why we don't necessarily write about a lot, because every room is going to have something completely different. But there's a lot of things you can do to improve your sound. And sometimes it's as simple as a curtain, a poster, just a simple, what you call a bass trap, which will be like a large piece of foam, or an acoustic treatment that you mount on your wall to kind of absorb or reduce reflections. There's a lot of different things you can do. And every room is different. Yeah. And so we have guys, if you talk to our sound experts team, they can give you some recommendations. But it really comes down to what you're trying to accomplish too.
Yeah. I mean, it's where a lot of the science comes into home theater setup. You know, if you want to get it right, you kind of have to know how the sound is interacting with the walls, with the furniture, with everything. And, you know, I think the reason why a lot of people don't go that far is because if it's a multi-use room, like a living room, like a family room, you know, the significant other doesn't maybe want foam egg crates, you know, plastered to the wall, or they may not want these big foam things in the corner. So, you know, that's something you have to overcome. If it's a dedicated space, then, I mean, it can have a dramatic effect. And so, you know, DJ, I'm glad you brought it up, because it just has a huge impact.
Yeah, it's I think of, like, when I read the title, The Ultimate Home Theater Experience, that's what my podcast is about. It's all about the experiences, right? And I'm like, oh, wow. And then I always, when I've told people about room treatments and stuff, just like I would say, I used to, I'm going to call it the anchor now, but I used to say the subwoofer is your foundation. But the room treatments are like the frame on a picture. Like, we've built this room, we've gotten the biggest screen possible, we've got the speakers that do all of the frequencies, we've got the subwoofer, we've got the center channel. This is where we're building towards the ultimate home theater experience. This is a piece of art we've got here, and now we need to frame it right. And we need to contain the sound the way it needs to be contained. Because, like you were saying, Larry, about bass traps, it's like, that's part of helping your subwoofers work, is that if you have those bass notes going back and forth, and that can help muddy the room. But there's so much more to do. That's why it's a never ending hobby, mm-hmm. right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't think, you know, a room treatment can be a rug on a floor. If you've got a hardwood floor or tile. So downstairs, worst possible room I could have a theater in, because it's tile and it's open to a dining and a kitchen area. And so we've got a massive rug, and our couch even absorbs some of the sound. And, you know, having really thick curtains can help with that too. And it's the same thing I deal with in here. I've got a door here, a closet back here, and a big old window over here. And, you know, they all can impact or take away. So finding the right thing to kind of mix that up, or, you know, in some rooms, if you don't know, you don't know. So there's no reason to even do it in some cases as well. But if you're doing a dedicated theater room, you're going to do some sort of treatments. And like the poster you've got behind you there, there's ways to actually, there's companies that make wall treatments of movie posters. Mm-hmm. So it just looks like it's part of the decor when it's actually taking care of some issues in your room too. So there's some really creative ways to do it.
And my general advice would be, typically get everything else squared away first. Make sure your placement is perfect. If you have, you know, resonances or, you know, shaking windows, get, you know, some isolation feed, or decouple your subwoofer, take care of any of those artifacts that are maybe being created from the sound itself. before you start looking at treatments, because really, I mean, it can take your system to that ultimate next level, but if you don't have the basics taken care of first, it's only going to get you so far. So make sure everything else is dialed in perfectly. And then as that final sort of cherry on top, you know, start looking at how you can treat your room to really take it to that ultimate level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people, I think they'll find when I really get into room treatments with people, it's when they want to upgrade their speakers. Yep. And it's like, you might not have to. Your speakers might not be the issue. It might be your room, but people think like, if I get a better speaker, is this going to help me? And that's why I think it comes, like you said, Nick, it comes at the end. It's like, build your room, get used to it. If you start to hear flaws, then start looking into that stuff. You know, like one of the things that helped me get to that pan, that Terminator 2 pan, was First Reflections. If you don't have those taken care of at the front of your room, that first reflect, you're not going to be able to pinpoint that pan as well. But you take care of those reflections coming off your front channels, all you're hearing are those front channels. And that, you know, but those are refinements that come after. And that's why, you know, and that's how you get to the ultimate home theater experience. I'm still not at the ultimate home theater experience.
I don't know if any of us ever will be, you know, it's like,
it's a never ending story.
Chasing that elusive dream that we all want to get to, but it's, you know, it's fun. This is part of the hobby is, you know, can I make it just a little bit better?
Yep. Absolutely. Larry, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you for a scene.
All right.
Give us a scene. We already did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones, which I have watched ad nauseum, which is a fantastic. I'd already seen it, but then after you broke it down, it's fantastic. You're stealing my job, but you got to give me a scene.
All right. Awesome. Well, I'll give you our newest one that we showcased at Expona in Chicago for a few weeks back. It's from the movie Ghostbusters Afterlife. Yep. And I am anti-spoiler in every one of my demos, and it's because I don't want to ruin a movie for anyone. I want you to go see it. But it's the very opening sequence of the movie.
Yes.
And it starts off, you hear the music immediately coming from around you. You got the horns and the Ghostbusters theme that you all know and love. And then you start hearing this thunder, and the credits kind of come in. And then you see and hear this massive proton pack sound that comes from everywhere. And you just see it hit the sky, and then there's thunder all around you, and then boom, here comes this old 1980s pickup truck just roaring through you, and you get the energy of the truck, the engine, it smashes through a chain link fence, and when it does, you actually hear that kind of pan off to the sides, and the camera kind of stays there for a second, and you get chased down by this ghost. And you have no idea what's going on, but this ghost is chasing you. You just hear it kind of whoosh from the back to the front. Actually, it starts from the front and then the back, and then camera changes, and it comes around, and you're getting chased. And so you've got everything happening inside the truck. You've got the ghost chasing you down, and then the ghost crashes into the truck, sending it kind of whirling around, lands in a cornfield. And when you escape the truck, you're running through the cornfield, and you hear the wisping of the corn going by you on the sides, and still the ghost chasing you down from behind. And then you get to where your destination is, this house. And there's this moment of just kind of quiet as he's setting up, trying to catch this ghost, and sets off this massive, big, huge moment where there's going to be this big over the top bass experience. And you get the roaring up of this engine from this, I don't even know what to call it, but you'll see it. I'm trying not to spoil anything either. And then the ghost starts to chase you down. When it does, there's these steps in the dirt, and it totally shakes the world, and then it just starts running at you. And you hear it breathing all the way around and kind of grunting at you. And then I cut the scene right there when it's coming right at you. And it's a phenomenal demo, and it's super loud. It's probably one of the loudest mixes you will ever hear. We play it probably 10 to 15 dB lower than most of our other demos, and it's just fantastic. And there's a whole bunch of scenes like that throughout the movie, too. But that's become a new favorite. along with a few other ones. I'm waiting on the Batman. As soon as the Batman hits discs, that's going to be our go-to demo, I am sure.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I saw it when it came out. And
I've seen it on Kaleidoscape. It's amazing at home. It's so much better than what I had in the theater. The Batmobile sounds incredible.
That's the scene. Yeah. But right now, Ghostbusters Afterlife, I think, is our newest and most favorite. And we've got so many more, but I'm eagerly awaiting the Batman to hit disc because I won't watch it streaming yet. I want to watch it in full glory of 4K UHD.
So DJ, there's no way I can top that. But if I can throw out a plug, we just recently revealed launched a new service with SVS, or what we call our sound experts. They're our customer service team. And this was sort of born out of the pandemic. But what we're doing now is actually live video consultations. So whether you have your laptop or a phone, we talked a lot about setup today. We talked about room treatments and placement and all these things. It essentially allows our customer service team to put eyes in your room. And so if you're not sure how big of a subwoofer to get or where to place the surround or the Dolby Atmos, height effect speakers, you know, you just pan your phone around. They can actually annotate on the screen. You can share schematics, you know, do different things that allow them to really provide the best advice possible. And it's a free service. This is nothing that we charge for, but it's something whether you're trying to choose the best products or you just want to get your system dialed in. Maybe you're confused by menu settings on the AV receiver. It allows them to kind of see what you're seeing and really give you the best advice so you can create the what? Ultimate home theater.
Ultimate home theater.
So experience. It's kind of a cool thing that, again, we weren't able to, you know, have dealers being inside people's houses. So it was a way for us to connect and really provide that white glove service that, you know, I think we're known for.
That's an awesome idea. That's when did you guys start?
Just recently, a couple of weeks ago. We were doing it sort of like, you know, ad hoc, you know, for the last year or two. And we're like, let's make this a thing. Like, let's make it so people know that we're doing it and not just like, hey, you know, this would be a lot easier if you can just show me what you're seeing, especially with some of these really technical questions where it's like, oh, I got this weird wall that's a 30 degree angle and this beam here and this and that. And it's like, you know, can you draw a picture for me? And it's like, nah, just show me what you're seeing. And, it just, again, it allows us to give better advice and get, you know, our customers have better experiences. So it's a kind of cool thing that I don't think others are doing. And hopefully it has a good impact with people to enjoy their systems.
I love that idea. So now do you just call up and do that? Yeah, it's got to be by appointment.
Yeah, go to our support page. You can either chat in or just drop an email and be like, hey, I want to set up a visual. There's a little prompt on there that sort of walks you through it. And then one of our team members will get back to you within a day and say, hey, here's some times and, you know, lock it in. And then it's essentially like a Zoom, but there's a few other features that, you know, Zoom doesn't have, you know, that again makes it more interactive. But yeah, you can set it up now and, you know, we're actively doing them. And so far the reports have been really positive. So, we're definitely going to keep doing it.
Guys, I'm hosting listeners on my Takeover Tuesday podcast and everybody's just like, I just want to talk home theater to somebody. You might have opened a can of worms here, guys.
Well, hopefully it's, you know, not just like, so what's your favorite movie to demo? Yeah, it's like, have a good technical question.
That's me.
But it doesn't have to be like about a purchase. Like I want to, you know, make sure that's clear. It's not like you have to be a customer who's about to buy. It can be a, you know, an existing thing where it's like, I just don't feel like my subwoofer's hitting hard enough. And here's where it's positioned.
Right.
And here's what my settings are. And it actually speeds things up for our team to some extent, because again, it's not, you don't have to ask as many questions. You're like, well, I see the problem here. You have your speaker set to large, like, you know, change that to small and, you know, away you go.
Yeah. We're not emailing photos back and forth and having to make notes based on, you know, I can't tell you how many pictures we see on the Facebook groups of like, hey, here's what my system looks like. And they've got
crayon drawing.
There's their Denon. Yeah. It's all on there. So by this, you simply get on there and it can be, 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be an hour, it can end up being two, who knows? But it's going to be personalized, and there's no charge for it. And I think that's where a lot of people were taken back whenever we announced this. We're like, what's it going to cost? And
couple
it's
minutes.
Like, just your time. Yeah. So
That's oh, man. I mean, I invited a guy out for a speaker consultation because I wanted to talk to somebody about home theater. I was like, it was great. And I think a lot of us in the business want that too. You want to find enthusiastic people, right? And I mean, that's why I love you guys. You're very enthusiastic. I mean, Larry, geez, you practically finished the movie for us. It's the enthusiasm.
That was only about 4 minutes. So yeah.
Nick, you got back to me. I couldn't believe how quickly you got back to me. Thank you so much. It's like, I'm just this piddly guy that just loves home theater, but it's that kind of, I mean, I've talked to SVS. I had my subwoofer amp went and you guys were great. And this was before I knew you guys. And it was just to have that level. I didn't know that. It's like, you know what I hate in stuff when stuff like this gets announced? It's like, I feel like people are going to be like, oh, that DJ knew this. No, DJ didn't. And a DJ loves it. I want to call them up. Hey, can I get Larry? Call up. Be like, I want to talk to Larry about my subwoofers because I got this scene I want to talk to him about.
So you definitely get somebody from our team, but they forward me emails a lot that I respond to. It's actually kind of cool. I get to interact with a lot of our customers via email and the occasional phone calls and stuff. So
awesome.
It's a different animal that we have, and yeah. We all love it.
Well, that's why I wanted to be in touch with you guys the very first time. It's just talking, obviously not having talked to you guys, having talked to anybody at SVS. I just wanted to talk about speakers and sound, and I knew that it was a passionate company, and then meeting you guys months and months ago, and it's only been great ever since. Just to let everybody know, Larry and I have been in contact multiple times. We're trying to get together, but it's booking the time, because you get the two of us together talking scenes like that, and it's what are we going to talk about? One scene? It's a 2-hour podcast about, but
I can give you at least five. If you give me some time, we'll do at least five.
Yeah, exactly. So guys, thank you. Thank you so much. How to build the ultimate home theater experience. The links in the website, links in the show notes to the, but honestly, go to the website, check all this out. But you guys really elaborated on it. I love everything about it. And like I said, biggest screen as possible, coming from a sound company. Kudos. Awesome, guys. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, DJ. Awesome. So thank much you. Fun always.
I just want to thank Nick and Larry again. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks to SVS for allowing this to happen. How to build the ultimate home theater experience. I know a lot of my listeners, we already have, a pretty good, if not the ultimate home theater. I know a bunch of my listeners already have the ultimate home theater experience. But as I'm seeing more and more people come forward, hey, I've been listening for a while, or I've just started listening to your podcast, and people are having questions. And there's so much to the ultimate home theater experience that when you see stuff like this, you can't help but go over it again and again. And it's fun. It's like, that's why I love listening to HD Guys and AV Rant. They answer sometimes the same questions week after week, but it's stuff we want to know. And sometimes hearing it from different people gives you a different perspective. That's why I really wanted to get, their perspective on, the accuracy of a subwoofer. I'm not an expert like these guys. I don't remember details, especially like Larry being the engineer that he is. And it's not my job either. This is my hobby. And I give everything to you guys through my experiences, how I've done things over the last 30 years. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily coincide with, hard numbers or something like that. But it's, through trial and error, like I've talked with a lot of people here on Takeover Tuesdays. And that's the fun part of home theater. And if this was as easy as just, throw down a bunch of cash and have a turnkey theater, that's really not what the hobby's about. Anybody listening to me right now, that's not what the hobby's about for them. There are people that can do that, but this is about getting into the nitty gritty. And that's why I like this article. It's like how to build. Okay. How to build. That means you want to build it. And then the last part, the ultimate home theater experience, is you want to build it yourself. This is how to go about it. And it totally coincided with everything that I've told people over the years. And, like I said, they opened with the biggest screen as possible, and that to me is says a lot about the company. And it's like they're really into it for home theater, not just trying to sell you speakers and stuff. And hey, I always said I'll never do commercials, and I don't, and this isn't a commercial. This is how I feel, and it's how I feel about other companies and products. It's the stuff that I use, the stuff that I love, and I'm gonna back passionate people. you know, and I use NHT speakers and they know it too. So I love that stuff. But yeah, and even they said it, it doesn't have to be their stuff, but this is what they do. And I didn't even, honestly, I didn't know about that new service. That's pretty cool. You can call them up and talk to them and video your, you know, what is it? Zoom chat, but it's not Zoom chat. It's better than that. That's pretty cool. So hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you everybody for listening. Hope you learned something or at least were entertained. And I mean, Larry got us that great scene from Ghostbusters Afterlife. So can't, if you didn't stick around for that, well, you're probably not listening to me right now anyway, so I'm not worried about it. But yes, thank you all for listening. If you'd like to be part of this podcast, if you'd like to, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be anything. You just have to be passionate about home theater. All you got to do is email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Twitter @brightsidehT. And I'll schedule you for a Takeover Tuesday. And these are running 2 hours, 2+ hours. I think I've had one. I don't know. Maybe one that was under 2 hours. Maybe. I don't know. But once we get talking, it's, you know, I multiple guests have said, I don't know what we're going to talk about. 2 hours later, they're like, I can't believe we just talked 2 hours. So there you go. It's just fun. It's contagious. It's what happens. I know that if the guys, if Nick and Larry weren't busy, we'd still be talking, because we did. We talked for a little bit afterwards, but busy. Thank you to them for cramming me in, little old me, into their time. But I really appreciate that. But I appreciate you guys for listening. You can also contribute to the podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. The whole dollar a month thing, you guys know what it is. If you don't know what it is, don't worry about it. That's not what it's about. I'm just super excited to be talking home theater right now. So everybody, have a great week. And you know, even if you don't have the ultimate home theater yet, but you just love home theater, you know what you got to do? Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.